What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael Kist.
You caught me not listening again.
Benjamin Solak.
You never listen.
It's the Kist and Solak Show. Presented by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation.
You are flying high on the Kist and Solak Show. This is episode 177, brought to you by the fine folk at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I'm your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. That's K-I-S-T. As always, joined by the best doggone co-host in the game, Mr. 9-Year Streak Without a Bad Day. He is Benjamin Solak. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, buddy?
Everything is delicious, but wash your hands before and after you eat it. It's kind of the state of where we are.
Are you surviving the quarantine well, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, my average day does not change at all.
Same.
Yeah, like, you know, oh, working from home. Like, yeah. You have one pair of sweatpants, that's a go-to. And a second pair of sweatpants that you wear when you're washing the first pair of sweatpants. That's rule one.
That's what I got going on right now, so I feel that.
Rule two, don't buy cookies. You go buy cookies, you're going to eat cookies. More cookies than you want to in a smaller time period than you intended to.
Yeah.
It's very standard. I feel so bad for Mayor, who works in local news, because her life is terrible, because it's just overall panic, and it's her job to update the people on Corona every day. So she comes home, and she's like, this is ridiculous. And I'm like, it's pretty much exactly the same for me, but that sounds rough. Yeah. We're just going to kind of see what happens with the draft and go on from there.
Yeah, that's something that's up in the air. I got little baby, little wee toddler Augustus home more often now. But other than that, like you said, my day hasn't really changed. And it may not change with the draft either. Apparently, despite what general managers, owners, or whatever it was, they voted against it, but it doesn't matter. The NFL draft isn't going to move, apparently, from April 23rd to April 25th.
Well, the general managers were like, yo, we need more time to get ready. And owners in the league were like, yeah, but also we'll be the only sports thing happening in the entire month of April. And you probably don't need more time to get ready.
I would be really worried about someone like the Houston Texans with no GM trying to go through this shortened, abbreviated process with no official
visits. I would be really worried about the Houston Texans.
Period.
The end.
Right.
I'm concerned. I'm going to be honest. I'm
going to make a citizen's arrest on their sake. But yeah, so definitely it's going to be weird. We'll see what happens. I mean, hopefully it does stay on course. It might be a really weird draft. It'll be interesting to look back on the results of this if it stands like this. But first news of the day, Ben, we are recording on Wednesday around 6 p.m. The Eagles showed a bunch of interest in nickel cornerbacks with their first wave of official visits before that got shut down. For instance, they brought in UCLA's Darnay Holmes and Louisiana Tech's Amik Robertson in that way. We talked about that on here. Holmes is 5'10", 195. Robertson is 5'8", 187. And that apparent search for nickel help couldn't have ended more on the nose, as they have signed former Rams cornerback nickel Roby Coleman on a one-year deal that's worth up to $1.3 million, which is a steal. NRC is similarly sized as those other two cornerbacks mentioned at 5'8", 180. I looked back, and this is somebody that me and you, talked about in 2018 when he thought he might hit the market. I remember both of us liking him, and I think he's been severely slept on. Obviously, he's remembered more for the no-call pass interference against the Saints in the playoffs.
Now that he's an Eagle, it was not pass interference, and it never was. Anyway, just in case anyone was wondering.
The real story with him is he's been a plus starter for years now. And in that offseason, the Rams signed him to a three-year deal. That third year was an option that the Rams declined to pick up, which saved them $4.5 million, thus making NRC a free agent. I tweeted these stats out, but I really think they show his effectiveness over the years. I looked up his yards per coverage snap compared to other slot corners around the league. Per PFF, he ranks 7th, 1st, and 3rd over the last 3 years, respectively. Quarterback rating when targeted is also looking clean, 90.5, 81.1, and 80.1. They rank 12th, 4th, and 4th, respectively. People have asked me if he's a better option than Craven LeBlanc, and I would say yes 100 times over without hesitating. The stats I cited bear that out, too. He's been healthier. And look, not just for... And the Eagles have some juggling left to do in that secondary, which I want to talk about specifically at safety later. But for now, sticking with the cornerback group, how are you feeling about this new addition, Ben?
Yeah, so firstly, I'm not going to say he's better than Craven LeBlanc, because I'm not going to say anything bad about Craven LeBlanc, because it's the best way to get yelled at on the internet is to say anything bad about Craven LeBlanc. The Eagles' corner room is big, small.
Yeah.
Roby Coleman, small. Avonte Maddox, 5'9", 184. Craven LeBlanc, 5'10", 190. Jalen Mills, who plays a position in the defensive backfield. There's no way of being sure in what it is. Eagles have Mills listed at 6'191. I don't think he's 6 foot. I think he's 5'11. But anyway, they don't have big corners. The only big corner they have is Rasul Douglas, is 6'2, 210, and they're probably going to trade him. They're sticking with off coverage. They're going to be good man cover on slots. The nickel Roby Coleman signing is like he's good and available and cheap. It doesn't fill a big need for them, in my opinion. I think between Avonte Maddox and Craven LeBlanc, you expected that you would have your nickel corner. So this is like, all right, he's a good player. Apparently nobody else wants him. We'll gladly take him. It doesn't solve the overarching issue, which is
right. We
got Darius Slay on one side, who's 6'190", not huge. And we got who knows who on the other side. The amount of people, like I asked this after the Roby Coleman signing, I was like, who's corner two? Who's the other outside corner? The amount of people who were very confidently like, dude, what are you talking about? Sidney Jones was shocking.
Yeah, buddy. I think we can all recognize this is about the Sidney Jones redemption tour for me specifically.
This dude's been on the team for 3 years.
I'm going to save this audio for when we're talking about this later on. For when he's playing well as CB2, and I'll delete this entire podcast when he inexplicably craps out again. I mean, but I think you're dead on with this. It's definitely not just, it's Sidney. You know what I mean? If it is Sidney, there are things working against it. That's if Rasul Douglas doesn't get traded. That's if they draft a quarterback, and that's if they start, according to BleedingGreenNation.com, this is reportedly the favorite. It's rumored that Avonte Maddox is the favorite at CB2 as it stands right now. And my thoughts on Maddox, it's complicated. A, with Slay being able to shadow wide receiver one, I think the need at CB2 becomes less urgent. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, because now I'm positive who I'm throwing the ball to starting on Monday. I don't even have to worry about which side to line him up on.
But you can help him more, and you're also not going to be getting wide receiver one reps against CB2 as often.
Yes, like, sure. Okay.
Like, it's still important. Right. Don't get me wrong. It's still important.
Well, right. I made this joke to somebody. I was in a dialogue with somebody about the Eagles cornerback, too. And because somebody had shared, like, with Nickel Roby Coleman and Darius Slay now added, like, the Eagles cornerback room is a lot better than it was. And I'm like, that's exactly what Jim Schwartz is going to be saying to himself in the mirror in October when he can't figure out why, for the life of him, they're still giving up a ton of passing yardage. Little do we all remember that for some reason Jalen Mills somehow ended up the Eagles starting outside corner again, right? So like,
yeah.
And we're not done with free agency, we're not done with the draft, we're not done with potential trades, whatever. But as it stands, the Eagles cornerback room is both, one, markedly better than it was last year, and two, still is a good shot to be a problem because it is very, very thin.
So let's continue on the Maddox thoughts here. My second thought was, we have to recognize that Maddox took a step back last year, and I think we've talked about that a good deal on this show. Was not as good as his sophomore campaign as he was as a freshman. I think we can also recognize that he played very well on the outside when he had to during his 2018 rookie campaign, including two very good games against the Texans and the Rams. But those two games should be taken in the proper context because he wasn't just manning up DeAndre Hopkins like all game. You know what I mean? He was given a good deal of help with cloud coverage and the like, which hid his limitations, let him leverage and overlap underneath zones, which he did very well. Ben, like, where exactly do you stand? Like, if Avonte Maddox enters the season week one at outside cornerback, you're just as concerned as I'm getting from you right now, right?
You remember Maddox against Allen Robinson against Chicago in the 2018 playoff game?
Yeah.
For like three quarters. Well, coming into the game, we were like, this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then for three quarters, like, Maddox had like an interception go through his hands and he had another PBU and it was like, whoa. And then on that last drive, when the Bears were like, hey, we probably need to get yardage quick because we need to get points. We need to win this game in regulation. They just started hitting Robinson on 12 yard out, 15 yard deep comeback.
Yep.
Right. And Maddox had no answer to it. Now, why? Maddox can't sufficiently press on the line of scrimmage, nor can he compete at the catch point with large outside receivers because he is just too small.
Right.
Remember, as I like to always remind everybody, Avonte Maddox is the fourth smallest arm length ever recorded by a defensive back in the history of the NFL Combine, right? Which is objectively not great. Now, the easy response is he played outside corner at Pitt, and he did. Pat Narduzzi, the head coach at Pitt, runs 3-3 fire zone, right? So he's constantly got Maddox bailing into a deep third, and then Maddox is wicked quick and super competitive, and that was where Maddox was able to be successful. The quick transitions, getting back in phase, it was all good. But when you watch that tape at outside corner at Pitt, you could tell that he was going to be at a disadvantage on some plays, whether he simply just had no answer because he was physically limited. The dude was a fourth round pick for a reason, right? And Eagles fans have a big love for Maddox, and appropriately so, because when the secondary went into its dark ages in 2018, obviously the secondary goes into the dark ages at least once every single season, the 2018 dark ages, Maddox was the solution, right? Maddox started playing deep safety for them when Corey Graham and Rodney McLeod were hurt, and he was slot corner, and then he became outside corner, and he played that playoff game, and they won, and he wasn't awful, and there's a lot of love for Avonte Maddox. He wasn't as good in 2019.
I agree, yeah.
And he played way more so his intended position, slot corner, than he did in 2018, and he wasn't as good. And so I don't think Eagles coaching staff has that degree of faith in him, nor do I think Eagles fans should. So to me, I think Maddox has a bead on, he's going to get to compete at outside corner, I'm sure. I think he's more likely to be the fourth corner on the field, which the Eagles didn't do a lot of four corner stuff. They tend to like to do safety stuff, but with Mount,
yeah, they did a little bit of it, of it at the end of the year, but that was it. Yeah.
Right, but now if your starting safeties are Malcolm Rodney McLeod and Will Parks, maybe you're more likely to do it. But also maybe your starting safeties you have Jalen Mills as your third safety, in which case you're obviously going to want to bring Jalen Mills on because he has man cover experience because he used to be a corner. So I don't know. It's gonna be tricky to figure out Maddox's path onto the field if he doesn't win that outside job. And if you're asking me right now, open competition, him, Sidney, or Sewell, I would guess it's Sewell.
And this is from John Clark. He was saying when Nickel Robey Coleman, because Avonte's still going to be in play. If he doesn't win that outside job, apparently Nickel Robey Coleman, I mean, the contract basically states this is a $1.3 million deal up to, anyway. Right. He was not promised the starting gig at the nickel spot, so Avonte can compete there.
Yeah, I mean, if Nickel Robey Coleman doesn't win a starting gig at a slot spot, I'll be legit shocked.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. That, I like him a lot, but despite not being told that, I think that's what it is, and that's what I would pencil it in as. Looking at the rest of the secondary here, safety, man, we gotta talk about it, because right now you've got Rodney McLeod returning, which, I mean, I think we both feel he's a solid veteran with limitations that we'd want to upgrade in an ideal world, but they also signed Will Parks from the Denver Broncos. I was just watching more of him try to seek out some of his free safety reps because he really didn't kind of take on that role beyond week four. I think he only had one free safety snap in single high after week four. I'm still not really sold on him, but I think he could be a perfectly cromulent safety three with some hope that he could be a spot starter, I guess.
Nothing. There's no greater vote of confidence than hitting that perfectly cromulent from Mike.
I'm telling
you. That's how you know.
That I'm firmly waffling on you. The problem for the Eagles, obviously, with that being that safety three projection, there's no clear starting safety next to McLeod. And it cannot be Jalen Mills. And on this point, look, I'm just tired of seeing the phrase Malcolm Jenkins role being applied to guys like Jalen Mills.
Here's the thing. If anybody's going to be filling Malcolm Jenkins' role, it's not Will Parks, it's not Jalen Mills, it's not Rodney McLeod.
Right.
It's Jatavis Brown. You look at Malcolm Jenkins' snap count density last year. He was a linebacker.
All over the box, yeah.
He is and it's not even enough to say in the box. He is at the same level as Nate Gary and Nigel Bradham. He is inside the widest defensive end, right? He is a primary run defender, and then he is a short zone guy. And as his athleticism depreciated, but he remains an incredibly instinctive and intuitive player who has unbelievable recognition skills, and then has, for a linebacker, if we're calling him a linebacker, elite movement skills because he's 220 pounds or whatever. Jenkins was awesome in that role. He was the man. If anybody's going to fill that for the Eagles, Will Parks and Jalen Mills, they're not big enough. They can't. They don't have enough size. It will be Jatavis Brown, who was a safety convert to linebacker at Akron, who plays around 227 pounds, I think it is, that the Chargers had him listed as. It's going to be Brown. It's going to, like, people are like, oh, Brown's in the Kamu Grugier Hill. Grugier was 240.
Yeah.
Brown's going to be doing Malcolm Jenkins-y stuff in terms of what their actual responsibilities are in any given play.
Yeah. I still have an issue with calling it that, though. I mean, you look at what the Malcolm Jenkins role is. There's like 20 different alignments and assignments for any given play that he has to know, and then communicating to the secondary on the fly. Like, there isn't a guy that can do what he did from a mental perspective on this roster to fill that role, period. It's such an underrated thing to talk about because we get wrapped up in like these perceived athletic limitations of older players, and that's all we tend to talk about. But find me a smarter safety type that can also fill in the box, play free safety, because he had a good amount of snaps at free safety as well. Tell me a guy that's smarter than Malcolm Jenkins, pre-snap and post-snap, because I'll go and find you a Hall of Famer. That's what we're talking about here. So it's probably just like a stupid pet peeve of mine, but like, I think you're really setting unfair expectations on a converted safety, a hybrid linebacker safety that hasn't really played like those coverage roles, and a backup safety when you hit them with that label. And I'm not trying to like shade Parks or Mills or Brown, but I just think it's a misrepresentation of what the Eagles can realistically ask whoever that player is to do. I mean, the guy played everywhere. I tweeted out his alignments. There are games where he's in like 17 to 18 different spots. Like, we say box, but you're right. It's not just the box. He's at different linebacker positions. He's on the defensive line. He's mugging the A gap. He's doing all of these different things. Plus, he's at wide corner on both sides. He's in the slot on both sides. Like, he's on the edge. Like, he's doing literally everything. You're not going to be able to ask Jalen Mills to take on that mental load, Will Parks, Jatavis Brown. It's just unfair. It's setting them up to fail, and it's not something I think the Eagles will ask of them anyway. Like, Parks is equipped to do it to some extent. Brown, like you said, is equipped to do it to some extent. Malcolm Jenkins is Malcolm Jenkins is Malcolm Jenkins is where, right, I kind of fall on that. You know,
I think if we take just at what position was Jenkins when the ball was snapped, which is not a good indicator of what a player does, in right, case anyone was wondering. But like, that's the thing that like a lot of places track and share that information and whatnot. If we take a look at that, I think the player whose snaps most match Jenkins in 2019 will be Jatavis Brown or whatever equivalent player to Jatavis Brown, if like Brown doesn't make the roster or whatever. But like, it will be, to me, like when they took Brown, like he makes the most sense as a box safety dude, the way Malcolm was. So allows you to play Rodney High and allows you to play Parks or Mills over number two, over number three against trips in big nickel, right? So over a wide receiver, which is the best usage, I think, I would say, for both Parks and Mills. If you disagree about that on Parks, because I know you watched some of his film, then you can, and that's fair. But I think that ideally you want them over tight ends, over big slots. That's where he's going to be at his strongest. So the overarching point here is like, how are the Eagles going to replace Malcolm Jenkins? They're not. And if they were going to, they should have started trying to do it in 2017, because right, you cannot ask players who make the free agent market or rookies to know and understand and be as good at what Jenkins is good at. It just doesn't happen.
I definitely agree. So there's still like a lot to work on when it comes to that secondary. And of course, we have draft stuff to talk about as we amp up towards that. When we come back here, they're going to switch sides of the ball. We're going to go to wide receiver, talk about the inactivity that's happening for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's coming up next here on the Kiston Solak Show.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/Vox. That's klaviyo.com/Vox.
And we are back here on the Kissed and Solak Show, episode 177, SB Nation, Bleeding Green Nation, bringing it to you. Michael Kissed here with Benjamin Solak. Ben, we talked about the defensive backs. Let's talk about guys that are going to be running those routes against them. Let's talk wide receiver. And Ben, I was always kind of in the camp of, I don't think the Eagles are going to do as much at wide receiver as people thought. Like, we were getting mock drafts with like three wide receivers taken, and then they also wanted to take a free agent, right? I always thought that was a bit overkill. And like, part of that was still contingent on Alshon Jeffrey's status. And seeing as that Alshon Jeffrey is still on the roster as of right now, despite the ability to eat his dead cap over the next 2 years, that's how it seemed to be playing out for the Eagles right now. You saw Robbie Anderson take a 2-year deal, $20 million from the Carolina Panthers. You saw Breshad Perriman fill his spot at the New York Jets with $6 million guaranteed. I think he can get up to $8 million. That's a deal I would have done, and I was really hoping the Eagles would do. They do not, and they have not signed anyone. So you get to a point now, it's like, okay, what's the plan? Because really the big options out there, aside from like guys like Taylor Gabriel or DeMarcus Robinson, right? Like, those guys are just like going to fill out depth but not necessarily be an answer. There's just trades left, and then you're trading away more draft assets when you want to have more swings at the plate in the draft. So what's your thinking right now as we stand here? I'm never going to panic on March 25th. I think a lot of people are, and it's a bit premature, of course. I mean, that's the fan base. It's what they do. I totally get it. But like, I'm not in a panic, but I am concerned as far as like how this is going to flesh out over the coming months for the Eagles.
I am panicking on March 25th. I'd like to make it very clear. Okay. One, what in the name of God does it mean to say we don't want a veteran receiver, we want a young one, so that the young receiver can mesh to Carson Wentz's style?
Yeah, who was that? Who said
that? Is that somebody? And the follow-up was like, that's why the Eagles didn't bring in like any other like big-time play caller, offensive coaching. You're gonna bring in any because none of them wanted to come, and they can't play call plays.
You would think with a receiver who's got 4 or 5 years in the league that's not a rookie, you would have a better chance of trusting that guy, at least with being at the right spot, being at the, you know, with the right timing, all of that stuff, and you can work on it from there. Like, this issue of chemistry with Carson Wentz, I think, is wildly overblown to the point where it's being like prohibitive.
What do they think Carson is
we never hear this with any other quarterback.
Exactly. Like, what, like, Carson's skill set is so particular. No, it's not.
It's not.
Like, what,
really,
like,
not.
Is what is he like? Oh, he can only throw these 7 routes, and the other 6 routes he cannot throw. So we can only run these routes. We only want receivers who can run a pivot route and a curl route. So we run 95 bajillion of those and a 3-step slant. Like, what even the frick is this? Last season, when Deshaun Jackson was available for a trade of a 7th-round pick, nobody had any qualms about veteran receivers then. Is this just like an extreme overreaction to Alshon being upset? Is that like, we gotta right. not, we can't bring in a veteran wide receiver because they're gonna have an expectation that we actually throw them the freaking football instead of throwing it to our tight ends? Is that what this is?
I feel like, you know, these wide receivers got to go to like the Church of Scientology and get a personality test and make sure they check out right. Like, that's how crazy this is sounding to me. Right. It's wild.
And so, okay, so after making dozens of calls on the receiver market last week, the belief is the Eagles want a younger player who will mesh with Carson Wentz rather than a veteran who might have his own style of play.
Who is that from?
Listen,
What does it even mean?
Okay. So it's ESPN.com, NFL free agency buzz from all 32 teams, which is written by Jeremy Fowler, ESPN staff writer. Okay. I can't access the things at ESPN Plus, but shout out ESPN. You guys do a great job. I don't know.
It sounds insane.
Right. So I couldn't see that. Also, BLG noted that it's similar to the what John Clark's been talking about with the Carson and the kids vibe. Wentz able to do this past season, free to be leader with younger receivers. They say inspired them. I believe the decision to let Jenkins walk is about changing the overall team dynamic so that this is Wentz's locker room. That's John Clark.
No, I get the one part of it. And I talked about this, I think, earlier in the offseason or late in the season, the fact of, okay, maybe the Eagles need to do what the Seahawks did with Russell Wilson, and some of these veteran voices, these stronger voices, these older aging guys need to be done, and they need to make this Carson's team. That does not mean completely avoiding like 26, 27, 28-year-old free agent wide receivers. That's a bridge too far, man. That's taking it to an extreme.
Right. Here's my thing. If your theory on your locker room dynamic, like how the emotions of grown human beings will mingle, which, like, let's not pretend, let's be honest here, you cannot project that, right? You can be like, oh, like, you know, like, you are an annoying person, like, you're an a-hole and I don't want to hang out with you, like, that's not hard, whatever.
You're taking a chance on these young guys with their work ethic too and their character. You know them less than the guys that have been in the league because you can talk with other teams and see how they mesh in the locker room.
Right, like the theory with like drafting a rookie or you know, whatever, like, is that they'll just fall in line because they've never been in the league before. That's
you gotta adopt them young, Ben.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's like when I got Nugget at 9 weeks, so she never know anything besides listening to me. Right.
Right.
So like, but back to the salient point. If your theory on team culture and on leadership, and if you need to insulate Carson Wentz so much that you custom pick a wide receiver who will have the best emotional relationship with him, this is you built the team wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want to say like you have the wrong quarterback because you don't, but it's like your offensive structure, whether it's coaching staff, whether it's quarterback, whether it's scheme, whether it's general manager or owner, should not be prohibitive to you acquiring talent to win football games. Now, I would say the big caveat with that statement is like some individuals in the NFL and otherwise are inherently bad people, and you don't want to bring in bad people. You know, like the Eagles are a big part of the Philadelphia community, and they are a public vision. And like, when obviously they don't have Malcolm anymore, but like the Malcolm Jenkins, Chris Long era is still very much real. And so like they were a politically charged organization at that time. That's still residual. It's still there. Even though those players aren't there, they stand for something. You don't want to bring in guys who don't stand for those things. That like culture fit, I get, especially in terms of like people with like legitimate off-field concerns, like criminally, justice-wise. Okay. But like, we don't want a veteran because maybe he won't listen to Carson enough. Somebody got to sit Carson down and be like, screw you, no. Or somebody's got to sit whoever had that idea down, Doug, Howie, whoever, Jeffrey, whoever it was, and be like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Right? And like,
this is taking emotional intelligence to a whole new level. And it might be Wentz that needs to sit them down and be like, hey, I can handle this. Like,
and usually like I'm a little bit like more like, I don't think this makes sense. And you know, I'm gonna do like that. Right. Whatever. This is just flat out dumb. What are you thinking? You have to acquire talent.
Right.
That's paramount. Period. If you think you can anticipate fit this well, boy, you better draft the rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Because apparently you're so good at reading how the talent's going to scheme's going to fit that you're passing on a pretty active veteran free agent market to draft a guy who may not even end up being there at 21 or 53 or 103, whatever the heck you end up picking. I don't know. When they have to trade up to 16 to go get Jerry Jeudy,
I'd be frustrated.
Exactly. So there you go.
Yeah, I'd be very frustrated if they have to trade up. And that's what a lot of people are asking me now. Like, I've been saying, like, I really don't want to trade up. And, like, I think 16 is the furthest I want to go. I don't want to trade up for one of these wide receivers. I just don't. I don't think that's great value. Right. I think we're placing such an outsized emphasis on the wide receiver position that the league itself sees as like a dime a dozen position because the Eagles have been so bad and having to hit the reset button a couple of times now, a few times now, really, with Carson Wentz at the helm. So I don't know, man. Like, it's super frustrating to get to this point, and I understand why people are panicking. I don't mean to poo-poo them, because, like, how can you trust the Eagles to get it right, especially when there's this type of stuff floating around, and they're narrowing their focus and handcuffing themselves so much, if this stuff is true, to what they can get out there on the market doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So a lot of questions in the air for the Eagles right now, what to do with the rest of the secondary, what to do with the wide receiver position. Ben, any other thoughts on what's going on with the Eagles or the NFL before we kind of get out of here?
The Eagles should offer Jadeveon Clowney. Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
The reaction.
Yeah.
Maybe not Clowney. Offer Everson Griffin. Tell Everson Griffin, hey, we'll re-up Clowney's market for you right now.
Yeah.
Let's get a new edge in the building.
Would you rather sign Everson Griffin or trade 21 for Yannick Ngakoue?
I'll just sign Everson Griffin. Chill.
Oh, for sure. Everson Griffin, for a good portion of last season, looked like 2017 Everson Griffin when he was freaking dying.
Well, it's the thing is, like, he had to take the time off for mental health, and that's going to terrify teams, especially because he can't travel and they can't talk to him.
For sure.
Which, you know, whether or not that's warranted is just what it is. Yeah, I don't know. No, I mean, league is good. Excited for the draft to be just a Zoom call with all 32 general managers. Kevin Colbert, I have no idea what's going on. It's going
to
be great.
What are you watching right now to get through this this period? Are you just straight through working? I know you got contextualized quarterbacking that you in your draft grades and everything like that for the draftnetwork.com.
What am I watching for work or what am I watching for fun? I'm watching Peaky.
You're watching Peaky Blinders?
Yes, I told
Let's
you this.
Let's go. What season are you on?
Season 3, which is not as good as season 2. I like the fact that there are Russians, though. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
No, I...
You got a lot coming to you season 4. Season 4 is like my bae.
Yeah, season 3, the events of season 3, episode 2 at the charity dinner, no spoilers, had me up. I was not a happy camper. So I took a couple days off to emotionally recover, and then I was okay. So now I'm watching again.
I like it. Who are you watching film-wise?
In terms of good players I've watched recently, Justin Heron is kind of good. Wake Forest, day 3, tackle guard backup, hopefully Vati Vaitai replacement. I'm in for that. Next up on my list, I have Francis Bernard out of Utah, Logan Wilson out of Wyoming, linebackers, freaking sick.
You mentioned offensive tackle. Where do you think Pert is going from UConn?
Round 2. It's Peart.
Dang. Peart?
Peart. Or
That's
Peart.
Good to know.
It's not pronounced as it looks. I know that for sure. He is good.
And that's what I'm saying. I was going to say, because like the Eagles need that backup offensive tackle. If he was going to be there in round 3, I would take a swing right away. But you're saying round 2, I think that's kind of where
he's going to start, and he's going to be good. And he's more athletic than Josh Jones. He has better film than Josh Jones. He's a nicer person than Josh Jones. I spent 30 seconds talking to each of them, so I would know. No, I'm a bit.
The guys at Midday 180, Paul Kaharski, spent some time with them, and he said he really liked them. And that's something that they're looking at.
He's super friendly, super smiley. He's a great dude. I like him. I like Akeem Adeniji out of Kansas. He's another guard tackle swing. Justin Heron, guard tackle swing. I want the Eagles to draft Alex Taylor because it's like Jordan Mailata was huge. Alex Taylor is like if Jordan Mailata fasted for a week. He's just like humongous tight end. I want them to put him in jumbo packages.
I love it.
Alex Taylor out of South Carolina State is an ex-basketball center. He's 6'9", 310, like 88-inch wingspan or something. It's ungodly. Yeah.
So we're going to be talking draft coming up pretty soon more heavily. I'm also going to be talking with Eric Crocker about the cornerback group because that's still something out there for the Eagles. We're going to run through his top 10. But other than that, Ben, say goodbye to the gentle listeners.
Thank you as always for listening to Kiss and Swag Show here on BGN Radio. We do appreciate you swinging by. I don't have to do the whole quadcast outro. So
right
there.
That was impressive. One breath.
Please. Killed it. I could have done a whole second one. no, but thank you for listening to Kiss and Swag Show. Podcasts galore, articles galore, as you and us both try to get through this very odd spring and into the very odd summer that certainly is waiting. So if you want to catch all the episodes, which they come out fairly frequently, even though it's only off-season chatter right now, make sure you subscribe to the pod, to the feed, at BGN Radio on Twitter and on whatever app you listen to your podcast. So you can follow Mike on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL, it's KIST. You can follow Ben on Twitter at Benjamin Solak, that's S-O-L-A-K. You already said the next shows, so I have nothing else to add.
Yeah, I'm not sure if those will be the next shows. But I talked over you. Say that again for the listeners.
What?
Just tell them you love them.
I love you guys. Here. That's so nice.
We all we got. We all we need. Fly, Eagles, fly.